Good morning. Beautiful day, isn't it? Quite a bit better than last Sunday, so we're excited about that. The name that you've been given, you've carried with you your whole life, even if you go by your middle name versus your first name, our name is something that's so closely tied to us, you're so closely connected to. Have you ever thought about the fact that something so near and dear to you, you didn't even choose. It was given to you. How well do you like your name? I hope you like it. That's yours. That's what we're going to call you. Even if you don't necessarily love your name, you have probably grown some affection to it. It means something to you. You've identified with it. You've taken it on. It is who you are. A name is important. There's a lot of power in a name. You remember being called down by your parents. If you were like many of us when you were young, they might have called you down by your first name, maybe your first and middle. But if they ever hit your first, middle, and last, you knew that meant something. Amen. A lot of power in a name. God's name. God's name means quite a bit more than our name, not just because it's God, but God's name also represented who He was. It was His authority, His power. It was His very person. And God's proper name in the Old Testament is very unique. We might pronounce it Yahweh. You may have heard the word Yahweh. It's interesting to me that this word, by the Jews, it's just four consonants, and in English it would be YHWH, and just those consonants, and the Jews did not pronounce that name. They would not speak that name. When they would read it in Scripture, when it would be read in a synagogue or in the temple in a scroll from a priest would come to that word in the Hebrew, and they would not read that word. They regarded it with such reverence and had such fear of taking it in vain that instead of Yahweh, they would pronounce the word Adonai. That's a word that means my Lord. And our Bibles through the years have followed in line with that. Your Bible, turn in your Bibles to Genesis 2:4. Your Bible will probably have the word Lord in this verse, Genesis 2:4. This is first occasion of it in Scripture. These are the generations of the heavens of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, that's Yahweh, the Lord God, made the earth and the heavens. And the word Lord is in all caps. And it's not just in all caps because it's referencing God. There are other places when the original word was Lord and it means Lord and it's translated. And in your Bible, it will have Lord with just a capital L. When it's in all caps, that is the proper name for God, Yahweh. And it's distinguished that way in our Bibles. That word Yahweh in Scripture is used over 6,000 times. Remember when Moses was talking to God and God was telling Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said to God, okay, God, but when I go and tell Pharaoh this, who am I to say is sending me? Who are you? What am I to call you by? And God answered, I am who I am. Now, we might interpret that as confusing. God, that doesn't really sound like a name. But that's just it. God is so big, no words of ours are really fitting for Him. They don't fit Him. They're not enough to describe Him. We don't have even words like Almighty. Everything falls short of describing God, and I think that's part of why God answered, I am who I am. In a way, it seems so insufficient, but in a very real way, it does describe God quite well. He just is. He just is. We were born, and we will die, and we know who we are, and we're good at this, and we're bad at that. God, He just is. He's big. Yahweh, the name of God, is powerful. So let's come down to kind of our standards. In ancient times, it was common because people's names, their names in ancient times had a meaning unlike ours. My name is Elliot. What does Elliot mean? I don't know. I don't know if there is a meaning of most of our names. Maybe you might find some historically, but we don't think of it that way. It's just a word. But to ancient civilizations, their names had great meanings, and so for that reason, when one nation would conquer another, it was common that they would change their captives' names. They would change their names. In fact, in the book of Daniel, turn to Daniel 1, verse 4, when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah during the southern captivity, Nebuchadnezzar took all the young men, the youths that were of they were the best. They were without blemish, good appearance, they skillful in wisdom. These were kind of a nobility of descent. And these were taken into captivity, and then their names were changed. In fact, there are three young heroes of the Bible that you probably don't. I would be surprised if anyone in here knows their Hebrew names. We don't know their Hebrew names. The scripture tells us, but we don't remember them by those names. Look at this. Along these were Daniel, we know his. But then here are these three: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And if those names don't ring a bell, it's because you know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are the names that were given to them. Those are the Babylonian names. Now, how would you like for your name to be changed? Look on the second one here on the left, Hananiah. If that was your name, what it meant was the Lord has been gracious. Change that to I am very fearful. I'm a big chicken. Mishael, his name was who is what God is. That has a ring to it, doesn't it? But that was changed to I am of little account. That's what his new name meant. Azariah, the Lord is my help, was changed to Abednego, and that means servant of the shining one. That's an idol, a false god. These three young men, their names were changed, but it did not change their identity. They stood tall. Evil, you might say, under Nebuchadnezzar, tried to change who they were and turn them away from God, but they did not. They stood tall. Remember the fiery furnace. They didn't blink. They were faithful to God. Does the devil ever try to change your identity? Does the devil ever remind you of who you were or who he thinks you are deep down? The devil will try to take us back. He will try to take us to who we once were. He will try to give us the name, the one who keeps falling short. And that word, in a word, is sinner. Did you know the word sinner in Scripture is not used to refer to us, to Christians, to saints, to those sanctified, justified? The word sinner is not used in Scripture to refer to us as a Christian. The word sinner biblically is referring to someone before they become a Christian, someone who's lost. And it's very fitting that the devil tries to work on us in that way. Hey, you're still a sinner. You're still who you once were. You're still the one who keeps falling short. You're not enough. You're a failure. You're never going to be enough. When kids used to make fun of your name, and I assume they did, kids have a way of doing that. Take just about any name and find some way to tease you about it, just being kids, right? Did any of us really like that? I never liked that. Not that it was horrible, but I never liked it. And the devil will do that. He wants to tell us how bad we've been and how good we'll never be. He wants to hold us back. But the fact is, God wants to use you. God wants to take us and use us in His kingdom. We think we are not good enough. And I want you to know that God is not asking you to perfect your life before He can use you or before He can save you. This is a message that I have to keep reiterating, because there are some of you that I'm sure are struggling with feeling like you're not good enough for what we're talking about here. You're not really good enough to be in this group. You're not really good enough for God to use you. I've known of people who struggled with that decision and choice to become a Christian, feeling like I'm not good enough. Maybe I will be someday, but I'm not. And that is the voice of the devil, isn't it? That's his message. And God's message is, I loved you before I ever made you, and I sent my son to die for you while you were still in your sins. God's love for us is not conditional on how good we can be. And God will take us. We sing a song, Just As I Am. It's very biblical. God wants us just like we are, and then he will work us. He will improve us. He will sanctify us and lead us. The devil is a name caller, but God is a name giver. Remember times in Scripture where God changed people's names? Remember Jacob? His name meant holder of the heel because of how he was born with his brother. But his name was changed to Israel, which means having power with God. And you may not remember this, but in the book of Hosea, his son and daughter, their names were changed to signify God's relationship with Israel changing. And so Lo-Ami, which meant not my people, was changed to Ami, my people. Remember when God changed the names of Abraham and Sarah? Abram meant high father to Abraham, father of a multitude. Sarah from my princess Sarai to Sarah, mother of nations. The name change creates a new identity, a new purpose. I remember as a young father with my first Elizabeth. And when I was talking to another young father this morning. When your baby first can say dad, daddy, when they can first say it, that's pretty special. But when they first say it and they know what they're saying, that's a whole other kind of special. And those of you who are parents or grandparents, you know that when you take on that name, when you become a father or mother, grandfather, grandmother, you change. You change. You have a new identity. It's special. It is a big thing. And even now when my girls call me, usually it's dad, borderline irreverently dad. But then when they need something, it's daddy. And once in a while when they really need something or really are asking or begging for something, it's daddy. And in a weird way, I still kind of like that. I know they're beggars, all three of them. But the name, there's power in a name. If you, by faith, have given your life to Christ, repented of your sins, had your sins washed away in baptism, your life has changed and so has your name. You became a follower of Christ, otherwise known as a Christian. Your identity changed. Your purpose changed. Your allegiance changed. A Christian. You are not who you once were. And your name Christian says that. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. And as we say that, now don't argue with them. Just let them say it. I'm not who I used to be. As we say that, we probably also wrestle a little bit with that. Because we were told to, and we killed our old self. That's what part of what baptism is. We're burying something. We need to die. That old part of me, I want it to die. But the problem is, it still tries to live. And when we say, I'm not who I once was, well, I'm not, but that part of me is still in me. My sinful nature is still with me, and we wrestle with that. Romans 13:12. Here are some scriptures that talk about this change. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. I love how this, and we have another passage we'll look at in a second, but this kind of runs a gamut. This is not all sins by any means, but it mentions some that are these attention getters. And some, it mentions some that you may look at and say, well, this really isn't my list. And then it, but it, before it closes out, we have quarreling and jealousy. And I'm pretty sure that hits many of us. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a fun time of year. Halloween is a fun time of year. Just watching children in their childlike innocence. They love to pretend and they love to put on a costume and be someone else. It's fun. And we can all, we understand that. I remember as a boy, my brother and I would take mom's towels, safety pin, no suckers, and we'd really tear them up and get in trouble for that. But they were our capes. They're our capes because we were Batman. We were Superman. And when you put on that cape, you become, you're just like the costume, you become someone else, someone different, someone better. And as Christians, we put on Christ. We put Him on. We become like Christ. But the devil is in our ear saying, you don't belong there. You're not like Christ. Who do you think you are? And we wrestle with that. But we cast off ungodliness. We put on Christ. Here's another passage that says it in a similar way. In verse 9, do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It's a reminder, we still fall short, but we cannot live that way. And that's what this verse is saying. We cannot live these ways of sinfulness. But look at this, verse 11. Such were some of you. Some of the greatest words in the scripture, in the Bible, is such were some of you. It's what we were. It's not what we are. And then I have highlighted verse 11. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. We were changed. If you could change one thing about you, yourself, physically, what might it be? Most of us probably would have a hard time picking one. When we talk about what we'd like to change about ourselves physically, we can talk about that. I would imagine none of us would be without something to share in a conversation. We all, isn't that funny? God gave you something you didn't deserve or ask for, and we all silently bellyache about it because we see somebody else. We're like, I wish I was tall like Keith. I tell you what, you know, these people who are tall, I've always been short. We look at other people and we say, man, I wish I, right? Well, I don't know why we do that, but what if instead of that, God would grant you the ability to change something about what really matters, what's on the inside, about your spirit, about your soul? What if God would grant you a wish to change something about that? Isn't that something? And the fact is, God has. And as Christians, when you become a Christian, that inward self is changed. It is purified. It is sanctified. It is justified. It is new. It's not what it once was. Colossians 3:1. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I don't like my old self. My old self is sinful, it is selfish, and it cries out, me. What about me? I want what I want. Mine. It's selfish. And we want that part of us to die, and we kill it, but it keeps trying to live, doesn't it? It keeps trying to live. It keeps trying to have control, and we have to control it. What I love about this verse is it says, your life is hidden with Christ. Our name, Christian, reminds us who believes in us, and that's Jesus Christ. It reminds us who our mediator is. When we pray through Jesus Christ. He goes to the Father. in mediation for us. It reminds us that when we get to the Father on Judgment Day, we will stand before the Father, but we will have an advocate. We will have one that hopefully, if we know Him, He knows us, Jesus Christ. And He will say, I know this one. I know this one. His soul has been cleansed. It's not that the Father doesn't. It's just a picture of a mediator. And we have that in Christ. How powerful is the name Christian? Think about it. We'll close with this verse, 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. When's the last time you told someone that you were a Christian? I know it's a little awkward. It doesn't just come out in conversation all the time, but periodically there will be a time and a place for us to say, not arrogantly, but with the greatest humility, I am a Christian. And part of what we mean by that is I'm not the boss of me. I have one that I've given my life to. I am a Christian, and I try to live like a Christian. That's something that is an honor I don't know that we fully understand. A name change. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. The song is Pierce My Ear. It's a great song about, in the Old Testament, a slave could vow allegiance. They could be set free, but as a freed slave, they could say, I'm not leaving, I want to stay. And their ear would be pierced. It would be symbolic of their commitment to their master. And that's what this song is about for us as Christians. We have a master, and that's Jesus Christ. We're going to sing this song, and if you need prayers this morning, we would love to do that. If there's one who's never given their life to Christ, we will wait on the picnic to watch a person have a name change this morning and a soul cleansed. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Pierce my ear, O Lord my God, take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay, for you have paid the price for me. With your blood you ransomed me. Now I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never